If you want to know what classical piece holds the title as the most transcribed, rearranged, difficult, beloved, mysterious piece of all time, the Bach Chaconne is certainly a prime candidate. Bach wrote it for solo violin in 1720. It was the closing section of his second violin partita in D minor, but it is most often played as a separate work, roughly 15 minutes long. It is one of those pieces that has caused a musical chain reaction across centuries, styles, instrumentation. It has an irresistible allure, part of which is created by the power of musical suggestion. Though it was written for one string instrument without accompaniment, it suggests the presence of accompaniment. The bass line is just hinted at, very shadowy at times, but present. Bach wasn't the first to try a piece like this. Heinrich Ignaz Franz von Bieber had done it 40 years earlier. He called it a passacaglia, which is sometimes used interchangeably with Chaconne, and it too was for solo violin. And it too was not a very jolly piece. Here's a bit of the opening. Chaconnes and passacaglias, however, started out as dances, usually quite brisk, believe it or not. The form originated in Spain during the late 1500s, and the tradition was of a guitar accompaniment with tambourines and castanets and an improvised melody line. In fact, some people seem to think the word itself, chaconne, is derived from shak, shak, the sound of castanets. By the time Bach wrote his in the early 18th century, the dance form of chaconne had spread all over Europe. There were Italian versions, French, German, English. Bach came along and, as these great geniuses often do, pushed the form as far as it could go, synthesizing all of the others, which in turn inspired musicians of every stripe to go on from there. The Romantics, most notably Mendelssohn and Schumann, were completely fascinated by the Bach Chaconne and made their own accompanied versions, which haven't really lasted. It was Brahms whose version stuck. He wrote it for left hand alone, for his friend Clara Schumann, during a period when her right hand was giving her trouble. Brahms wrote to Clara, "To me, the Chaconne is one of the most beautiful, incredible compositions." Brahms said playing the piece on the piano with one hand made him feel like a violinist, struggling to make the piece sound full and rich with limited resources, which seems to be part of what this piece is about. Joachim Raff's transcription of 1865 for two-hand piano also survives. Brahms had felt the piece needed very little embellishment. Raff disagreed. Here's the Brahms, very true to the original. Here's the Raff, not quite so true. Raff went so far as to put his own melody under Bach's. Raff, obviously obsessed with the piece, also made a full-scale orchestration of it, full of those same inner voicings and counter-melodies. Was that the top of the slippery slope? Ferruccio Busoni, the romantic virtuoso of staggering intellect, took it one step further, as he took everything one step further, embellishing the chaconne and broadening its sound. Busoni believed a transcriber took possession of a work, those were his words, and take possession he did. Andre Segovia did the impossible with the piece by transcribing it for the guitar. It is one of the things that put the classical guitar on the map, in fact. Such was its immense popularity. and musicians seem to want to challenge themselves with this piece. The guitar transcription is as death-defyingly difficult in its own way as the Brahms left-hand version was in its way. Limited resources are not exactly how one would describe Leopold Stokowski and the Philadelphia Orchestra. Stokowski, as he often did, went the other way with the Chaconne, washing it with sound and melody, filling in every space, making open declarations where only implications were before. The Bach Chaconne survived it. It even survived Robert Flory's 1946 potboiler, The Beast with Five Fingers, the story of a one-handed pianist whose other hand comes back to haunt an Italian town. Really?
I've been listening. You played masterfully.
You think so?
The power, the tonal quality, the prodigious technique. You have suffered no loss, and the world has gained another miracle.
Yes. Perhaps you're right.
In its latest incarnation, the Chaconne has been thoroughly studied by a German musicologist who thinks she's found hidden messages and references in it relating to the death of Bach's wife. Her findings resulted in a recent chart-topping CD, most noted for a performance of the Chaconne with added voices. In the end, you can't kill this piece, though many have tried. Some music has its own momentum, its own life. The Chaconne's life is not just vertical as it hurtles through history. It is also horizontal, spreading its influence, inspiring imitation and variation, and rebounding every time. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.